Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, another fantastic week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, $4 a gallon for gas and over $100 for groceries for one person. But, you know,
I know.
As long as Donnie's getting his screen time.
Isn't it great? It's American dream.
And then I don't know if it's real, but I heard that The Hague has already requested an audience.
Oh, really?
Whether or not that's true. See, if The Hague was smart, what they'd do is they'd make it a big deal, like they're giving away this award. And all of his people have to be there.
Yeah.
To honor him. And then they could, you know, just pounce in.
There you go.
But who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I tell you, definitely the entertainment industry is getting very nervous.
So did you watch the Academy Awards?
I watched the first hour and a half.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it seems pretty useless these days.
Yeah.
You know, that there's not... Nobody's really seeing these movies that they're nominating, and they're desperately trying to be hip. And, I mean, like, the whole thing with Grogu and Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
When they cut to the audience and Grogu's sitting there with somebody else...
Mm-hmm.
And Sigourney Weaver gave like the worst line reading of "Stay away from her, you bitch."
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like ABC. Like,
oh, that was forced.
Yeah, it definitely felt like ABC was trying to make sure that you understood that Disney owns them, and these are the things that Disney's promoting.
Obviously,
you know, the stupidness of, I don't know if you saw it, but the. They were cutting off, of course, they were cutting off the mics for some of the categories, like, I forget what it was. I think it was like Best Foreign Documentary or something.
Yeah.
But they did this reunion of Bridesmaids, of all things.
Yeah, I did see that.
And so they let them go on for like 10 minutes of this stupid shit. And mm-hmm. I was like... Okay, somebody backstage doesn't know what the audience really wants, because that was fucking terrible.
Right.
And then mm-hmm. Kieran Culkin comes out and to do Best Supporting Actor or whatever, and he says like three things,
yeah.
And then he's like, and the nominees are, and then he accepts the award on behalf of Sean Penn and walks away. And it's like,
right.
So you don't give the funny guy anything to do. But the five egos that are up on stage for the Bridesmaids thing, you just let go for as long mm-hmm. as you fucking want. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, and so what are they going to do when it goes on fucking YouTube? Like, are they just going to let everybody ramble for as long as they want? Like, I don't know. I don't even know if it matters anymore for, you know, the Academy Awards.
It doesn't feel like it does. I mean, it's not relevant anymore.
No.
So either turn it into a freaking variety show and at least entertain people.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I don't know what the solution is to that. It's like you're trying to sell this ad space. However, you're not really giving anybody buying ad space the value for their dollar, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it is, it's just painful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I like Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien was always my favorite late night host of when like late night was a big thing. But I don't know, like, I don't know if, who's writing the jokes or if he even has say in it anymore or whatever. But like, there were times where he just kind of stared at the crowd for a couple of seconds and like, didn't seem to know what to say. And it was like, oh, okay, sure. So
I wonder if that's because he was being fed something in his earpiece.
Well, maybe.
It was very odd. The energy overall was very odd.
Yeah. I just don't think they know what to do anymore.
No.
And like, not that I want them to do a thing where, you know, all five of the music acts perform, but if you're going to do it, then do it for all of them and not just two of them. Because it really felt like, well, hey, these are the two that they favorites. We'd get the
big... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just seems like a waste.
Yeah, it's not a must watch anymore.
No. And poor Timothée Chalamet didn't win a thing.
Oh, because he's a stupid asshole.
I mean, I saw Marty Supreme. I didn't think that it deserved any of the hype that they were trying to, you know, put in it.
Yeah. Well, I do think it was very funny that they had Missy Copeland in the Sinners number.
Yeah.
As, you know, coming out and basically dancing in his face.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot, kid. You just blew it. You know, you got Dune 3 coming out. You think anybody who's interested in the art of filmmaking is going to come and, you know, support you anymore?
Yeah. And I mean, in a weird way, I don't think he was wrong with what he said. Like it's true that America today does not support the arts the way they used to. He just said it.
No, but
in
his
a stupid
comment about
fucking
ballet
way.
And opera not being important.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
Yeah. Well, they got the last laugh on him, I guess.
Yes.
Although he's young enough that he'll get an Academy Award at some point.
Oh, of course he will. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yeah. What a bunch of jackasses.
That kind of sums up the world. You see, we had a couple of celebrity deaths.
I did. Neither of them were really like huge for me.
Yes.
I mean, the first one was Chuck Norris, and Chuck Norris is, you know, he's got a bunch of memes about him, about how tough he is. But like, there were a lot of people that were like, oh, you mean the guy that put out a video that said that if we voted for Obama, there'd be 1,000 years of pain. And he was anti-Semitic and, or like, not anti-Semitic, because he was friends with Netanyahu, but like all of these things of like horrible things that he's backed. And it's like, and people were like, oh, rest in peace. And I was like, really? Really? Is that what we're doing? Okay.
So, well, it's funny how you forget as soon as.
Yeah. As soon as somebody dies.
Somebody dies. Right. You know, all these people paying tribute and like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then Nicholas Brandon died from Buffy.
Brandon. Yeah.
Of
natural causes at 54.
Yeah. I mean, so he's got a long history of like substance abuse and domestic violence and things like that. But, you know, domestic violence wouldn't be what killed him. I've got to imagine that the reason that they labeled it as natural causes is because he wasn't like murdered. And he probably didn't have like a medical history of anything. I think he probably had a heart attack from like drinking or whatever.
Supposedly he had a congenital heart defect.
Oh.
And he had something called Cota Aquina syndrome, which compresses nerve roots in the spine.
Oh. Okay. I mean, I remember going to a comic book convention after his domestic abuse shit hit, and nobody was going to his table, and he was pissed off about it. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't hit women. I mean, you know, people are going to vote with their money, and they don't like you right now. So, yeah, I don't know of anything else that he did that I would have seen besides Buffy. I feel like Buffy was his big claim to fame. I might be wrong.
No, that's pretty much it. He's done a bunch of B movies. He was on, no, he was in The Nanny, not on The Nanny TV show. Yeah, it looks like he was kind of pigeonholed.
He did 21 episodes
of a lot of bad horror movies.
Criminal Minds. That's probably the most mainstream thing he did besides Buffy. It seems like he was one of those guys that was put on a lot of like police procedurals. Probably is the bad guy. Right. But yeah. I mean, 53 is super young, and that's a damn shame, but he did have a lot of personal baggage that was going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was a bad week for Buffy fans, because day or two before this dude died, they announced that the reboot for Buffy was not moving forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big bad week for Buffy fans. But in a weird thing, the day after that they said Buffy the Vampire Slayer wasn't moving forward, Nathan Fillion announced that they are working on an animated Firefly series.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting. I am cautiously optimistic, but I also realized that he needs support from the Firefly fan base to kind of sell the final thing to, I guess, wherever they're going to try to air it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't like, hey, we've been working on this and here's what we're doing. It was, well, we kind of got things lined up. And now what we need is for you to show interest so that we can take that and sell the interest so that the people will give us money to make this. Which in a way makes me feel like it's not going to happen. But I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it's going to happen quickly.
No. No, I was kind of hoping for, we've been working on this for 2 years, and guess what? This summer you're going to get to see more Firefly.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a PR campaign leading up to the announcement. He was able get a lot of people talking for probably nothing. They probably didn't spend any money on that PR campaign. So good on him for being able to draw up the excitement for it. I just hope he can follow through. And I guess the whole gist is that this is going to cover time between the end of the series and Serenity, which means that Alan Tudyk can be back. I don't know what they're going to do about Shepherd Book since Ron Glass has passed away.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they just write him off the ship for a while. I don't know. Maybe he leaves between that last one and Serenity, because he's been off the ship for a while.
Yeah, he has.
So they don't. They may not necessarily have to recast him. But I mean, the artwork looks cool. It looks like they've spent some time on it and stuff. So I don't know. I hope they can pull it off. I would hate that they make this announcement and then cannot follow through on it.
Right. Another example of hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're doing this at some point.
I mean, I'm almost surprised.
And we're all involved.
I'm almost surprised they didn't try to do like a Patreon or something to, you know, try to drum up interest and some money for it. But I guess they feel like the product is enough. And I guess 20th Century Fox gave them the blessing to do it since they're the rights holder. And they're smart enough not to include Joss Whedon with his troubled past. So, you know, I feel like they're on the right track.
What do you mean?
You know, he's had some issues as well with the female cast members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took your recommendation last week.
Oh yeah.
And I watched The Burbs.
Okay.
I watched it all in a day.
Okay.
That's how much I got into it, which is rare for me. But I kept wanting to see what would happen next, which was not something that I was banking on. I love the fact that they use the same street as the movie. Just a little bit further down, because I want to say the movie happens in the cul-de-sac, right? Like the very end of the street, and this was more the middle of Colonial Drive or whatever it's called at Universal. Like the main people are living in the Leave It to Beaver house, the house that is possibly haunted is the Munster house. You know, it was very cool. It was very cool the way that like it paid homage to the movie, but it was its own thing. And I really enjoyed it. I really was like, I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did.
Well, good. I'm glad.
But yeah, it was very cool. It was,
yeah,
everybody was under suspicion at one point or another. There was like weird twists and turns with like the neighbor's dead husband. And then, you know, it just kept getting passed around from person to person on the block until they finally, like they came up to the end and like what was actually going on. And even at the end, I mean, like they leave it open with a cliffhanger. So like, it was very cool though. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know if they've got a commitment for a second season, but hopefully. I thought it was really well done.
I mean, I think part of it too is that what's his name? McFarlane. Oh my God, why can't I think of his first name? Guy that made Family Guy and
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane was an executive producer on this. And I feel like maybe this was part of the overall, because he's doing Ted at Peacock as well. And Ted is shot mainly on the Universal backlot. The school is actually the clock tower from Back to the Future. The family in Ted lives in the Leave It to Beaver house. And I feel like maybe this was part of his overall deal with Peacock to, you know, to keep the backlot alive, maybe. But it was really cool.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy Paula Pell in pretty much everything she does.
She's a funny lady. I worked with her, it's like, I mean, yeah.
She was also in, what was that called?
Girls the, Five Eva?
No. It was the one, AP Bio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was in that, too, and she played the principal's assistant. And she was fucking funny in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, she's a... She, it's one of those things of, like, now if she's in something, I'm more likely to go watch it. Huh. So, yeah. Would you watch this week?
I think I hit all of the usual suspects.
Okay.
I have finally figured out how to watch everything I used to watch without adding any additional cost.
Oh, that's right. Because you've cut the cord.
Streaming services?
Yeah.
I did cut the cord.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I pay for Amazon.
Yeah.
I've got Disney Plus for free. Yeah. I've got Peacock for free. I've got Netflix for free. I downloaded Pluto TV, which mm-hmm. I didn't realize had a lot of current episodes.
Oh,
like
okay.
CBS.
Okay.
And I've got Apple TV for free.
Nice.
So now it's just a matter of, you know, getting used to the remote and
yeah,
watching what I watch when I watch it and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So, you know, watched High Potential.
Yeah.
Another really good episode. I thought it was well done. I thought the way it wrapped up.
Which
sounds like we're getting a little closer to Roman and what's happening with that.
Yeah, and I like that they gave a lot of screen time to Daphne. Like they seem to be, mm-hmm. they seem to be like understanding that it's there's a lot of use in the background characters. Yep. I'm just looking at this. I did not watch this week's episode. I thought I did.
You did not?
No.
Oh, it was Pine a good one.
Sky. I watched the one where the detective teacher gets, there's an attempted murder on her at the massage place.
Yeah.
That's the last one that I watched.
Uh-huh. Okay. You get another one to catch up on.
For some reason, when I looked this week, it did not show me that there was a new one. So
yeah, I've been noticing that a lot.
So I just assume that maybe this was a skip week for them, but nope. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
nope.
Sucks.
You lost out.
Fuck.
We had new episode Paradise.
Yeah, I'm like three episodes in. I just went through the one where Xavier wakes up and he finds the kids, or the kids find him.
Oh wow, you're behind a lot.
I know.
Okay,
I'm trying.
That's all right.
I don't have a whole lot of time for entertainment shit with work and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, and now is a great time because there's not a whole bunch of new shit on. At least it doesn't seem mm-hmm. like that. So. Is it still good? Is Paradise still like a good, are they still telling the story well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And the twists and turns just keep coming.
Do you think it's better than season one?
I do because there, whatever the huge cover up is, it's not like Silo.
Yeah.
Or Fallout, where like they're trying to keep people. Well, actually, it's exactly like those two, where they're trying to keep people inside the bunker and not explore outside. Meanwhile, there's people outside living their lives.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's a whole episode about Jane.
Okay.
Sinatra's little assistant. Yeah. And holy shit. It's yeah.
Okay.
We had a finale of Star Trek.
Yes, we did.
Starfleet.
Yeah. Starfleet Academy. Oh, good.
You saw that one.
Yes, that one I saw.
Okay.
So, apparently they rewrote this episode almost up until the day they shot it. They started production on it.
Oh.
And it kind of feels that way to me. There's a very meta thing in this final episode where Noose Braca puts basically Starfleet on trial, kind of like Q, but
right.
He does it on the internet or whatever their version of the news network is.
Right.
And yeah. There's like a lower third and a crawl and like it didn't feel Star Trek to me. I was like, this is a weird way.
Really?
Yeah. It felt weird. Like of all the ways to do it, like, yeah, I know there's been trials that have been transmitted like in Star Trek VI and other things that have happened in Star Trek have been kind of televised, I guess. But like Noose Braca actually says out loud, the revolution will be televised. And
yes.
they proceed to do this thing and then it doesn't go his way. And I was just like, okay. I mean, I think it's a good episode of Starfleet Academy. The Jet Reno having to be in charge and get the cadets to do what they need to do and her giving life lessons as they're going. I thought that was like tip top Star Trek.
Sure.
I just felt that the trial of it all felt a little silly to me because like
it was definitely over the top. But
yes.
Giamatti's been over the top with this character the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. But like he's got Starfleet by the balls. He's surrounded them. They can't get out. They can't do anything else. And he's going to showboat. And I almost wanted him to be like all the shit I've been saying. Yeah, that's just cover for the real plan. And that's to cut right. Starfleet off. It felt too mustache twirly to me at times. even though Giamatti killed it. I mean, he was only in like three episodes of the season.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think there's a real solid base. I think it was a decent first season of Starfleet Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt like they didn't know whether they were coming back, even though that they were filming season two.
Right.
There's all those like baby pictures of all the cast members at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And I was like, this really mm-hmm. feels like, this might be it. So look at us as kids. So I don't know. And it would have been nice if the Discovery had shown up because they can jump anywhere at any time, no matter what. And I know that they had said, oh, the mycelial network is connected to the Omega 47 or whatever it is.
Right.
But I was like, they could have worked that out. They could have had another ship jump in and it be the Discovery. They didn't have to show the cast of Discovery, but they could have shown the Discovery.
Yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic for season two. I think they were shooting while the episodes were airing, so there's no time really for like a course correction of like, oh, people thought this of these episodes. But if they can deliver a season two that's on par with this, then I'll be happy. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I liked how everything came together. The doctor kind of saving the day. I liked watching Giamatti just chew the scenery.
Yeah.
I thought the ending for Caleb was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they've definitely struggled this first season with trying to figure out what the tone of this show is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it goes from, you know, teen rom-com to a perilous, you know, space battle.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. It's kind of like, so what are we really doing here? Okay.
I mean, it fits the Star Trek motif, though, because there were a lot of episodes of, like, The Next Generation where one episode was them doing nothing but talking on the bridge for 60 minutes, and then the next be, like, something major was going on. And so it definitely feels like they have taken the spirit of Star Trek and kind of weaved it through the show while trying to capture that new younger audience. I think they need to balance it better.
Yeah. And hopefully that'll come with the second season.
Yeah.
You know, they've seen what works, they've seen what don't work, they see what's, you know, what people want to see.
I mean, I kind of feel like they're trying to figure out with the Warner Brothers and Paramount merger what's going to survive that. And I don't know if this will survive simply from the fact that all of the other Paramount Plus Star Trek shows cracked the streaming top 10 and this one didn't. So I kind of feel like season two might be it. And then we'll get a season and a half of Strange New Worlds, and that'll be the end of Star Trek for a while, which will suck.
Well, unless our glorious leader becomes a huge fan of it and.
Well, no, it's too woke.
It'll be nothing but.
Star Trek is too woke for the MAGA crowd. So
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, those are just aliens. Those don't mean anything.
There's a Klingon walking around in a skirt. They're not happy about it.
It's an alien. Come on.
I know. Hey.
What's it matter?
What does any of it matter? But they still make a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Has there been any news on the Muppet Show? Whether they're going to do more of those?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Damn it.
Nope.
That sucks.
Are you caught up on Monarch?
Maybe.
Fourth episode just aired.
Let me look at the. I will tell you which episode I am on. Da, 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 da. That's season one. There we go. I have seen up until episode 3, so I'm one behind.
Okay.
I feel like this season of Monarch is kind of a slower burn than the first season.
Definitely. There's a lot of exposition. There's a lot of filling in the gaps from the past.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, you gotta grab me. What are you doing?
Yeah, I felt like the world building in season one was a lot better and a lot, you know, they were jet setting around the world every single episode trying to get to wherever. And, right. You know, bouncing back between the flashbacks and present felt more like the flashbacks mattered to the story. And sometimes I feel like now they're just trying to spit some exposition because they need to show that Lee and Keiko had an affair. And it's like, well, that was never really hinted at all in that first season.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I agree. I think it's, there have been some really good moments, but then there's also been, I don't know if they're conserving money.
Yeah, possibly.
They spent an awful lot of money on that, the shots, the overhead shots of the ships in San Francisco looking for the kaiju and,
yep.
You know, turned out it was a whale. It's like, really?
Yeah, and they've got to be like, there's got to be some restraint probably put on them because, you know, all of those visual effects to look halfway decent needs a lot of money. So they must, right. They must be like, all right, well, you can't show King Kong in all of the episodes. You can't show Godzilla in right. all the episodes. Here's your new big Titan. We're going to kind of show this in shadow and we're going to kind of like, you're just going to see tentacles at one point. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's, they're having to kind of like pick and choose where they're spending their money.
Yeah. Those tentacles didn't look really good.
Well,
I was kind of like, oh, really? This is like, you know, 1960, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just, you know, paying homage to the old days of Disney, but maybe. It looked cheap.
Maybe Kurt Russell was like, you know, I was really important to Walt and you're going to like, you know, homage him as much as you can.
I was his last words, God damn it.
That's right. At least the last thing you wrote down.
Yeah.
I think his last words were, what's that pain in my chest?
What else have you been watching? Are you finished with your James Bond experiment?
I am. I watched them all.
Yeah.
It was a slog. I would just like to say, having watched them all, it seems there is an enormous amount of people on the bad guy's payroll in every single movie. There are henchmen mm-hmm. for days. And I don't remember. I think it might have been on Her Majesty's Secret Service. The where they're skiing down a mountain and all these skiers turn out to be working for the bad guy. I don't right. know if it's a thing where like henchmen are just going about their day and they're activated like a sleeper cell, or they're approaching people on the slope saying, I'll pay you 20 grand if you kill this guy. But there's an awful lot of people on the payroll for a lot of these guys. And I just don't know. That's got to be a nightmare for like HR because they're everywhere. Every time James Bond turns around, there's somebody trying to kill him. Every single movie. Mm-hmm. And it must be nerve wracking trying to be the bad guy, getting your shit together because all these people are like weak points. And I mean, even in the later ones where, it was the one with Javier Bardem, like he's living on an island.
Skyfall?
Yes, it was Skyfall. Okay. He's living on this island where like people had evacuated from, and there's tons of henchmen there and they all fuck up and don't kill James Bond. He's not that good enough of a spy to survive all of these movies.
No.
I mean, he keeps giving his real name to everybody he meets.
Well, that's his catchphrase.
I guess.
And shaken, not stirred.
I guess, but like there was only one or two movies where he gave a cover name. It was always James, but there was like the last name was always different. But to everybody else he ever met, he was Bond, James Bond. And it's like, but you're supposed to be a spy.
Right.
He's a terrible spy. That's all I'm saying. And he's lucky that he's made it through this far.
Right.
Because if there wasn't bad guy monologuing, he would not have survived the first film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But it was a lot. It was a lot to get through, and I finally did it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever do that again.
What's going to be your next marathon?
Well, strangely, I have been going through, not in order, just kind of playing the hits that I remember. MASH popped up on Disney Plus. And MASH was something that is ingrained in me from childhood. We used to watch MASH during dinner every night when I was a kid. It was on, it was either on from 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 on one of the New York stations. And they would bounce around from episode to episode. And I've done a rewatch like all the way through from the start to the beginning, but that was a couple of years ago. And the anniversary of my mom passing away is coming up, and my dad was just here for a visit. So like nostalgia was running kind of high for me. So I just started like hitting some of the major episodes and stuff. And I've been watching that for the past week or so. But it always blows my mind of how many episodes some of the characters were actually in. Because at times, if you were to say like Frank Burns, I would have been like, oh, he's only in like 3 seasons, but he's in like 6 or 7. And like, if you had said Radar to me, for some reason in my head, when I was a kid, I thought Radar was out like right after BJ shows up, but he's in it. He's in it for quite a while too. So I think because the New York station ran them out of order, it fucked with my perception of how many episodes these people were actually in.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, Henry Blake was in 3 seasons. I thought he was in like 1. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in more than that.
No, he dies at the end of season 3. Oh, spoilers for a show that aired in 1972.
What happens?
54 years ago?
You know, some people might be living in a box. Been in the bunker since Eisenhower.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, if they have, there's a lot of good TV to catch up on, though.
Yes.
What else have you been watching?
I watched a very bizarre fucking movie.
Okay.
I watched Bugonia with Emma Stone.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons and his cousin kidnap her because they think she is an alien who's hell-bent on taking over the world. And they shave her head. They've got her like tied up in the basement. And then she kind of starts doing the reverse psychology on them.
Yeah.
So that they start to like, not necessarily believe her, but they start kind of respecting her. Jesse Plemons at one point apologizes to her because he didn't realize that she was from such a noble family and, you know, from her planet. And it's all really weird, and it basically takes place in you know, like one set.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple of other in there, but you know, nothing major there.
Yeah.
Emma Stone's really good playing this bizarre character.
Yeah.
Totally obvious twist ending. That wasn't that obvious because you're kind of like, oh no, they're, you know, these guys are just idiots. They're, you know, they're conspiracy freaks. And, yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. Do you have any interest in seeing this?
I do.
Okay, then I won't say anymore.
Yeah, I know it's from the same director as Poor Things that
Emma Stone
was in.
Because,
and that was a weird fucked up movie too.
I mean, she must really like getting the parts where she's unattractive.
Yeah.
You know, where she's not like the glamorous, beautiful woman. She's kind of gritty and ugly and... Yeah, I mean, she's really good in it.
Yeah.
But it was very X-Files, I think.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see if you watch it, what you think, because...
I will watch it this week.
Okay.
And then we can discuss.
That's your assignment.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I've had friends that have talked to me about it and has been like, you probably should see it. And they're all like trying not to like spoil it and stuff and. Yeah, I remember watching Poor Things and being like, this is weird. And then looking up...
I mean, both... Oh, my God. I mean, just the stuff that she and Ruffalo were told to do.
Yeah.
It's like, really? And I mean, James Woods? Was that James Woods? Was it DeForest?
In Poor Things?
The other guy who's not James Woods. In Poor Things.
Willem Dafoe?
Played the doctor. Dafoe, that's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very weird movie. It was kind of like they said, yeah, just go, you know, do whatever you want.
All of this these dudes' movies, though, is weird. I don't know if you've ever seen The Lobster.
No.
That's another one where, like... It's just kind of like out there, which is like cool that like they're letting somebody do these types of films, like these off the wall, like fucking crazy. Yeah. I mean, they attract top tier talent. I mean, Lobster was like Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz. And, you know, Poor Things was Emma Stone and Willem Dafoe and all that. Like,
yeah,
he seems to have a grip on like, getting talent, because Jesse Plemons is really talented.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool that they're all kind of to putting themselves out there for like the weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough weird shit.
Well, sometimes there's too much. Depends.
Okay.
Depends on what weirdness you want to be part of.
The weird avant-garde cinema.
Yeah. Have you watched the Seth Rogen series, The Studio?
I have not.
I just watched the first episode.
Yeah.
I do not like him.
Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. His characters tend to be the same character, just kind of this very manic, overreacting individual.
I mean, he is the first...
I only got through the first episode.
He is the first person to say that he's not an actor. Like that he is playing these parts because he gets to, and that because he writes them and he gets to be in them, he was like, nobody would ever put me in a film if I didn't make my own shit. And like, he's basically like, I'm not an actor. I'm a writer who likes to act on the side, but I'm not good at it.
Right.
So, I mean, is it, will he keep you from watching the rest of it?
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of, what was the Tina Fey series? 30 Rock.
30 Rock.
And there was a lot of the old series that was, what was it called? Action with Jay Moore.
Okay.
Where it's like he's kind of an inept guy who suddenly becomes promoted to be studio head.
Okay.
and his one requirement is that he has to make a movie about Kool-Aid.
Okay.
And it's got a great cast. I mean, it's got Catherine Hahn. It's got Catherine O'Hara. Mm-hmm. It's got Bryan Cranston. Bryan Cranston plays the studio head who promotes him, and he's just insane. Scorsese is in it.
Oh, geez.
But it's all about, like, the Bryan Cranston's character says, we don't make films, we make movies. We are here to entertain and make money.
Okay.
So they're trying to figure out how do you make, you know, a blockbuster about Kool-Aid, and they bring Scorsese in because Scorsese has a script going around about Jonestown that he wants to, you know, they convince Scorsese that he should produce it with Seth Rogen's studio.
Yeah.
And then they end up double crossing him, and it's very weird.
What is going
on?
It's
very weird. It's very loud. There's a lot of people yelling at each other.
What is going on to Martin Scorsese these days?
I think he just wants to be remembered. He's in the new Star Wars Grogu movie.
Yeah. He's doing this.
He had that. What was the movie that everybody was all up in arms about the alien invasion? Did that even open?
Oh, are you talking about War of the Worlds, the one with Ice Cube?
No.
No?
No, this was... Was it Scorsese, or is it the other guy?
Was this something he directed, or that he was in?
Well, remember that there was like a Super Bowl commercial like a few years back that was supposed to lead to this movie about... God, what is it? It's something day.
You're talking about this
Disclosure
year?
Day?
Disclosure Day hasn't come out yet. That's
Spielberg. No, that's not it. No, I don't know.
Was
maybe I imagined it.
Scorsese an actor in this sci-fi film, or is he?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know. I must have imagined it because I don't see anything.
Wasn't Independence Day 2?
No.
How long ago was it? Now I'm intrigued.
I don't know. I'm having a senior moment.
I mean, normally if they give them Super Bowl commercials, they're going to release it.
But it wasn't for the I don't know. I'm confused. The Super Bowl thing was for 2024, and it was called Hello Down There.
Okay.
That I thought was supposed to lead to another movie, but I'm guessing not.
Huh. Okay.
So forget I said anything. Just edit this out.
No. No, that doesn't happen. Yeah, the only Hello Down There movie that I see is from 1969.
Yeah, no, that's about people living in a submersible.
Oh.
One of those wacky comedies.
Was it a Disney movie? Because that seems to be right up there.
I think so.
No?
Tony Randall, Jim Backus, Roddy McDowell, Charlotte Ray, Janet Leigh, Ken Berry.
Jesus. Oh, is it a musical?
Because
it's got pictures of people playing instruments.
Don't think so.
Is that kid wearing a turban? He is. That's weird. This looks very 1960s.
So Tony, yeah, like Tony Randall creates an underwater house, and to prove that it's viable, he has to live in it for 30 days. His son and daughter have a rock band. So they're in this thing, which they call the Green Onion, which I'm sure is a callback to the Booker T and the MGs track from, you know,
yeah,
way back when. So it's like him.
Crazy cast.
Oh, yeah. Merv Griffin.
Oh, my God. A very super young Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss. Yep.
Am I going to have to seek this out?
Probably, because I think I am. Oh, there are 5 songs in it. One's called Glub. So, yeah, I got to find this. I vaguely remember the theme song.
Yeah, I don't think it's streaming anywhere. Although
you can
there's
rent it on YouTube.
Yeah, sure. We'll call it renting. Apparently it's on Hoopla.
Okay.
Oh, but you have to sign up for it. Oh, so Hoopla would be the thing through the public library. I have that. Oh, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch the shit out of this. I want to see Richard Dreyfuss play the bass guitar. It's funny that it's $10 to buy on Fandango, but like there are newer movies that are less money for that on Fandango.
Well, I mean, this is a classic. I mean, you know, come on.
It's got Jim Backus in it.
That's right.
Thurston Howell III. I'm sure this will be 88 minutes well spent of my time.
Yes, Richard Dreyfuss is playing the guitar on this.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well,
we know what we're talking about next.
There's a rabbit hole.
The 1960s.
And that's 1969. That's almost the 70s.
Yeah. It looks like it's firmly planted in the 60s, though.
I mean, the Nehru collars and the beads.
Yeah.
Well, it is iconic.
A dude wearing purple pants and a beige shirt. Come on.
That's what I wore to work yesterday.
Well, you yourself are from the 60s, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I was 4 when this movie came out.
Okay.
I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
It's also known as Sub-A-Dub-Dub in other countries.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Apparently, it was originally released in Mexico. It was released in the United States first in Miami for some reason. And then it opened wider a month later. And then 2 years later, it opened in Mexico, according to IMDb, which is weird.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever. It was reissued in the United States under the title Sub-A-Dub-Dub at some point.
That's catchy.
Yeah. Maybe they did, you know, like they did with the Wicked movies where they re-released them, but with like the lyrics and the bouncing ball so that you can
like, sing along. Yes, like the sing-along version.
Maybe,
and
maybe Sub-A-Dub-Dub was that.
Oh, maybe.
Hello down there. Oh boy. What else did Jack Arnold direct? Is this like a long line of The Love Boat? Did 8 episodes of The Fall Guy? Buck Rogers, he did a couple episodes of The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo.
That was a sequel to BJ and the Bear.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy's directed a lot. He directed 15 episodes of The Brady Bunch. I'm in.
Well, he directed Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice. Like the original?
Yeah.
He started directing in 1947.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It came from outer
space. Okay, he has one movie. He has one movie that the title I will not be saying out loud.
What year?
1974.
1974.
White Man's Town, Black Man's Law.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Part devil, part legend, all man.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, look that up if you guys want.
Yeah. Wow.
Have your own discussion. Oh, he directed 15 episodes of The Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. He had a full career.
Yeah, absolutely. I unfortunately do not know. Oh, he did. He directed the Hawaii episodes of The Brady Bunch.
Oh, okay.
Where they find the secret, the tiki idol, and
yes, Greg gets with Vincent
wiped
Price.
Out. Yeah, Greg gets wiped out by the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, there you go. Then it's this will all be worth it. 88 minutes well spent.
You'll be humming the tunes.
Oh, my God. Imagine getting it, songs from 1969 stuck in your head. It's all that weird, uh-huh. Like hippie shit. Wow. Fun. All right. Well, we know what we're talking about next week. You got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
John.
Have a good week.
I'm actually a marshmallow on the inside. Would you be my graham crackers?